1:2:2:3, verse 22. The sons of Shem, Elam and Asher, and Arpachshad, and Lud, and Aram. By Shem is signified here as before an internal church. By the sons of Shem, the things that belong to wisdom. Elam and Asher, and Arpachshad, and Lud, and Aram, were so many nations by which are signified things that belong to wisdom. By Elam, faith from charity. By Asher, the derivative reason. By Arpachshad, the derivative science. By Lud, the cognitions of truth. By Aram, the cognitions of good. 1:2:2:4. From all this it is evident what these names signify in the internal sense, namely that the ancient church which was internal was endowed with wisdom, intelligence, science, and the cognitions of truth and of good. Such things are contained in the internal sense, although here are only names from which nothing else appears in the literal sense than that there were so many origins or fathers of nations, thus nothing doctrinal, much less anything spiritual and celestial. Such is the case also in the prophets, where whenever a series of names occurs which in the internal sense signify actual things, they follow one another in a beautiful order. 1:2:2:5. That by Shem is signified an internal church has been stated and shown in the preceding chapter, at the 18th and following verses. 1:2:2:6. That by the sons of Shem are signified the things that belong to wisdom is evident merely from this, that Shem is an internal church, the sons of which are none other than things of wisdom. Everything is called wisdom that is begotten of charity, because it comes by means of charity from the Lord, from whom is all wisdom, for he is wisdom itself. Hence comes true intelligence, and hence comes true science, and hence comes true cognition, which are all sons of charity, that is, sons of the Lord by means of charity. And because they are sons of the Lord by means of charity, wisdom is predicated of each of them. For wisdom is in each of them, and they draw their life from it. And this in such a manner that neither intelligence, nor science, nor cognition has life, except from the wisdom which is of charity, which is of the Lord. 1:2:2:7. That Elam, Asher, Arpachshad, Lud, and Aram were so many nations is evident from the historical and prophetical parts of the word where they are mentioned, and that they signify things that belong to wisdom is evident from what has been said just above and from what follows. Among these nations there was an internal church. With others who were called sons of Japheth, there was an external church. With those who were called sons of Ham, there was a corrupted internal church. And with those who were sons of Canaan, there was a corrupted external church. Whether it be said internal and external worship, or an internal and an external church, it is just the same. 1:2:2:8. That by Elam is signified faith from charity is evident from the essence of an internal church. A church is internal when charity is the principle of it, from which it thinks and acts. The first offspring of charity is none other than faith, for faith is from it and from no other source. That Elam is faith from charity, or the faith itself which constitutes an internal church, is evident also in Jeremiah. The word of Yahuwah that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four ends of the heavens, and will scatter them toward all those winds. And there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. And I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their soul. And I will bring evil upon them, my fierce anger. And I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence the king and the princes. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring back the captivity of Elam. 49 verses 34 to 39. In this passage, Elam denotes faith, or what is the same thing, an internal church become perverted and corrupt, and then the same restored. Just as in the word, Judah, Israel, and Jacob are frequently spoken of, by whom churches are signified, by Judah a celestial church, by Israel a spiritual church, by Jacob an external church, of which when they were perverted, it is said in like manner that they should be scattered, and then, being scattered by their enemies, they should be gathered again and brought back from their captivity, by which is meant the creation of a new church. So here it is said of Elam, or the internal church perverted and corrupt, that it should be scattered, and afterwards that it should be brought back. And then that Yahuwah should set his throne in Elam, that is, in the internal church, or in the internals of the church, which are nothing else than the things of faith from charity. In Isaiah, the burden of the desert of the sea, it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous one dealeth treacherously, and the waster layeth waste. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Madai. All the sighing thereof I will make to cease. 21 verses 1 and 2. Here the laying waste of the church by Babel is spoken of. Elam is the internal church. Madai is the external church, or external worship in which is internal. That Madai is such a church or such worship is shown at verse 2 of this chapter, where Madai is said to be a son of Japheth. 1:2:2:9. That by Asher is signified reason is evident from what was shown above at verse 11 of this chapter. 1:2:3:0. That by Arpachshad is signified science cannot be so well confirmed from the word, but it is evident from the series of things that precede and that follow. 1:2:3:1. That by lewd are signified the cognitions of truth is evident from the fact that the cognitions of truth are from that source, that is, from the Lord through charity, and thus through faith, by means of reason and of science. So also in Ezekiel. Persia and Lud and Put were in thine army, thy men of war. They hanged the shield and helmet in thee, they set forth thine honor. 27 verse 10. This is said of Tyre. Lud and Put denote cognitions, which are said to be in her army and to be her men of war, because they serve in defending truths with the aid of reason. This also is to hang the shield and helmet. That Put signifies the exterior cognitions of the word may be seen above at verse 6 of this chapter. 1:2:3:2. That by Aram or Syria are signified the cognitions of good follows, and is seen also from the word as in Ezekiel. Aram was thy traitor in the multitude of thy works, in chrysoprase, crimson, and broidered work, and fine linen, and coral, and carbuncle. They gave them in thy tradings. 27, verse 16. Where Tyre is treated of, or the possession of cognitions, and works, chrysoprase, crimson, broidered work, fine linen, coral, and carbuncle, here signify nothing else than the cognitions of good. In Hosea, Jacob fled into the field of Aram, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept guard. And by a prophet Yahuwah brought Israel up out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he kept. Ephraim hath provoked to anger with bitternesses. 12, verses 12 to 14. Jacob here denotes the external church, and Israel the internal spiritual church. Aram, the cognitions of good. Egypt, science that perverts. Ephraim, intelligence perverted. What these signify in series cannot be seen from the literal sense, but only from the internal sense, where names signify actual things of the church, as has been said. In Isaiah, behold, Damascus is rejected from being a city, and is become a ruinous heap. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Aram shall be as the glory of the sons of Israel. 17, verses 1 and 3. The remnant of Aram here denotes the cognitions of good, which are called the glory of Israel. Aram, or Syria, in the opposite sense, denotes the cognitions of good perverted. For it is a usual thing of the word that the expressions are used in both senses. Isaiah 7, verses 4 to 6, 9, verses 11 and 12, Deuteronomy 26, verse 5. 1, 2, 3, 3, verse 23. And the sons of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. Aram, here as before, signifies the cognitions of good. The sons of Aram are the derivative cognitions, and that which comes of these cognitions. Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash signify so many kinds of these cognitions. 1, 2, 3, 4. That Aram signifies the cognitions of good has been shown just above. That the sons of Aram are the derivative cognitions and the things that belong to cognitions follows. These derivative cognitions are natural truths, and the things that belong to cognitions are the things done according to them. That these things are signified cannot be so well confirmed from the word, because these are not among the names that are frequently mentioned. Only Uz is mentioned in Jeremiah 25, verse 20, and Lamentations 4, verse 21. It follows, then, that Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash signify so many kinds of these cognitions and of deeds according thereto. 1, 2, 3, 5, verse 24. And Arpachshad begat Shelah, and Shelah begat Eber. Arpachshad was a nation so called, by which is signified science. Shelah likewise was a nation so called, by which is signified that which is derived from this science. By Eber also a nation is signified, the father of which was Eber, one who was called by this name, by whom there is signified a second ancient church, which was separate from the former one. 1, 2, 3, 6. That Arpachshad was a nation so called, and that by it is signified science, is evident from what was said of it just above at verse 22. 1, 2, 3, 7. That Shelah likewise was a nation, and that by it is signified that which is derived from this science, follows because it is said that Arpakshad begat Shelah. 1, 2, 3, 8. That by Eber is signified a nation also, whose father was Eber, one who was called by this name, is to be understood in this way. Those mentioned hitherto were the nations among whom the ancient church existed, and were all called sons of Shem, of Ham, of Japheth, and of Canaan, because by Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Canaan are signified the various kinds of worship of the church. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Canaan never existed as men, but because the ancient church specifically, and in general every church, is such that it includes a true internal and a corrupt internal, a true external and a corrupt external, therefore these names were given in order that all the differences in general might be referred to them and their sons, as to their heads. Moreover, the nations here named originally had such worship, and therefore are called the sons of one of the sons of Noah. And for the same reason also, such kinds of worship are signified by the names of these nations in the word. This first ancient church, signified by Noah and his sons, was not confined to a few, but extended over many kingdoms, as is evident from the nations mentioned, namely Assyria, Mesopotamia, Syria, Ethiopia, Arabia, Libya, Egypt, Philistia, as far as Tyre and Sidon, and the whole land of Canaan on this side and beyond the Jordan. But afterwards in Syria, a kind of external worship began, which from thence spread itself widely around over many countries, especially over Canaan, and which was different from the worship of the ancient church. And as something of a church thus arose that was separate from the ancient church, there sprang up thence, as it were, a new church, which may therefore be called the second ancient church. The first institutor of this was Eber, and therefore this church is called after Eber. At that time, as has been said before, all were distinguished into households, families, and nations. Each nation acknowledged one father, from whom also it was named, as is seen in various places in the word. Thus the nation which acknowledged Eber as its father was called the Hebrew nation. 1, 2, 3, 9. That by Eber is signified a second ancient church that was separate from the former is evident from what has just been said. 1, 2, 4, 0, verse 25. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Eber was the first institutor of the second ancient church, and by him this church is signified. Unto him were born two sons, by whom are signified the two kinds of worship, namely internal and external. His two sons were called Peleg and Joktan. By Peleg is signified the internal worship of that church, and by Joktan its external worship. For in his days was the earth divided, signifies that anew of the church then arose. The earth, here as before, signifying the church. His brother's name was Joktan, signifies the external worship of that church. 1, 2, 4, 1. As to Eber being the first institutor of the second ancient church, by whom this church is signified, the case is this. The first ancient church, so widely spread, as has been stated, especially through the Asiatic world, in process of time degenerated, as is usual with all churches everywhere, and was adulterated by innovators as to both its external and its internal worship, and this in various places, and especially by the fact that all things significative and representative, which the ancient church had from the mouth of the most ancient church, which all bore reference to the Lord and his kingdom, were turned into things idolatrous, and by some of the nations into things magical. That the whole church might not go to ruin, the Lord permitted that significative and representative worship should be somewhere re-established, which was done by Eber. This worship consisted chiefly in externals. The externals of worship, in addition to the priestly offices and what pertained to them, were high places, groves, pillars, anointings, and many other things called statutes. The internals of worship were doctrinal things handed down from the time before the flood, especially from those who were called Enoch, who collected the perceptions of the most ancient church and made doctrinal things therefrom. These were their word, and from these internals and those externals came the worship of this church, a worship set up anew by Eber, but added to and also changed. Especially did they begin to exalt sacrifices above other rites. In the true ancient church, sacrifices had been unknown, except among some of the descendants of Ham and Canaan, who were idolaters, and with whom they were permitted to prevent them from sacrificing their sons and daughters. From all this, the quality of this second ancient church, instituted by Eber and continued among his posterity, who were called the Hebrew nation, is manifest. 1242. That by the two sons of Eber, who were named Peleg and Joktan, the two kinds of worship of that church, internal and external, are signified. By Peleg the internal worship, and by Joktan the external worship, is evident especially from this, that in the internal sense this second ancient church is signified by Eber and the Hebrew nation, and that in every church there is an internal and an external. For without the internal it is not and cannot be called a church, but an idolatry. Therefore, sons being here predicated of the church, it is evident that by one son the internal of the church is signified, and by the other the external, as in various other places in the word. And as is signified by Ada and Zillah, the two wives of Lamech, see number 409, by Leah and Rachel, by Jacob and Israel, of whom hereafter, and by others. The posterity of Joktan is treated of in this chapter, that of Peleg in the following chapter. 1243. For in his days was the earth divided. That this signifies that a new of the church then arose is now consequently evident, for by the earth nothing else than the church is signified, which has been clearly shown above. Number 662, 1066. 1244. And his brother's name was Joktan. That this signifies the external worship of that church has been shown just above. That external worship is called a brother may be seen above at verse 21 of this chapter, where it is said of Shem that he was the elder brother of Japheth. This is why the name brother is here added. 1245, verses 26 to 29. And Joktan begat Elmodad, and Sheleph, and Hazarmaveth, and Jera, and Hadoram, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Obal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. These were so many nations of the families of Eber, by which are signified so many rituals. 1, 2, 4, 6. That these were so many nations of the families of Eber may be seen from the state in which they lived at that period. In the most ancient time, as has been said before, nations were distinguished into families, and these into households. Each nation acknowledged one father, from whom it was named. As they were multiplied, the sons of the one father in like manner constituted households, families, and nations, and so on. So it was with these sons of Joktan, as we may see it was with the sons of Jacob, who afterwards, when multiplied, constituted tribes, each one of which acknowledged one of the sons of Jacob, from whom it was named, as its father. And yet all taken together were from Jacob, and were called Jacob. Just so these nations were from Eber, and were called Hebrews. 1, 2, 4, 7. That by these nations are signified so many rituals is evident from the fact that in the word names never signify anything but actual things. For in its internal sense the word relates only to the Lord, to his kingdom in the heavens and on earth, and consequently to the church and the things of the church. Such is the case with these names. And as Joktan, a son of Eber, signifies the external worship of this new church, as was said before, so his sons can signify nothing else than things of external worship, which are rituals, and in fact so many kinds of rituals. But what these kinds of rituals were, it is impossible to say, because they are determined by their relation to the worship itself. And until this is known, nothing can be said about its rituals, nor would it be of any use to know them. Neither do the names recur in the word, except Sheba, Ophir, and Havilah, and they are not of this stock. For the Sheba and Havilah elsewhere spoken of in the word were of those who are called sons of Ham, as is evident at verse 7 of this chapter. And the case is the same with Ophir. 1, 2, 4, 8, verse 30. And their dwelling was from Mesha, in coming unto Sephar, a mountain of the east. By these words is signified the extension of the worship, even from the truths of faith to the good of charity. Mesha signifies truth, Sephar good. A mountain of the east, charity. 1, 2, 4, 9. That by these words is signified the extension of the worship, even from the truths of faith to the good of charity, and that Mesha signifies truth and Sephar good, cannot indeed be confirmed from the word, because no mention is made of Mesha and Sephar in the prophets. Still, this may be seen from its being the conclusion of what goes before, and especially from the fact that a mountain of the east is the final thing to which the words that go before bear reference. And in the word, by a mountain of the east is signified charity from the Lord, as will be shown in what follows. And the same may be seen from the fact that all things of the church have charity in view, as their finality or end. From all which it follows that Mesha signifies truth, or the boundary from which the progress commences, and that Sephar signifies good, and thereby charity, which is a mountain of the east, or the boundary to which the progress tends. 1, 2, 5, 0. That a mountain of the east signifies charity, and in fact charity from the Lord, is evident from the signification of a mountain in the word, as being love to the Lord and charity towards the neighbor, as has been shown before, Numbers 7:9-5. And that the east signifies the Lord, and things celestial from him, which are of love and charity, may be seen above, Number 101, as well as from the following passages. In Ezekiel, the cherubim lifted up their wings, and the glory of Yahuwah went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain which is on the east of the city. 11:22-23. Here the mountain which is on the east signifies nothing else than what is celestial, which is of love and charity, and which is of the Lord. For it is said that the glory of Yahuwah stood thereon. Again, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh to the way of the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Ezekiel 43:1-2. Here the east has a similar signification. Again, he brought me back by the way of the outer gate of the sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. And Yahuwah said unto me, This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, neither shall any man enter in by it, but Yahuwah the God of Israel shall enter in by it. Ezekiel 44:1-2. Here likewise the east denotes what is celestial, which is of love, which is of the Lord alone. And again, when the prince shall make a free will offering, a burnt offering, and peace offerings, a free will offering unto Yahuwah, one shall open for him the gate that looketh toward the east, and he shall make his burnt offering and his peace offerings, as he shall do on the Sabbath day. Ezekiel 46:12. This similarly denotes what is celestial, which is of love to the Lord. And in another place, he brought me back unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the face of the house was toward the east. Ezekiel 47:1-8. Here the New Jerusalem is treated of. The east denotes the Lord, and thus the celestial, which is of love. Waters are things spiritual. The same is signified here by a mountain of the east. Moreover, those who dwelt in Syria were called sons of the east, concerning which of the Lord's divine mercy more will be said hereafter. 1:251:31. These are the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their tongues, in their lands, according to their nations. These are the sons of Shem, signifies derivations from internal worship, which is Shem. According to their families, according to their tongues, in their lands, in their nations. Signifies according to the genius of each, in particular and in general. According to their families is according to the differences in respect to charity. According to their tongues is according to the differences in respect to faith. In their lands is in general relatively to the things that are of faith. In their nations is in general relatively to the things of charity. 1:252. That these things are signified needs no further confirmation, for they are the same words as occur above, verse 20. See what is said there. The significations of the terms, as here of the families, tongues, lands, and nations, are determined by the relation of the terms to the things of which they are predicated. There they are predicated of Ham, or of corrupt internal worship, but here of Shem, or of true internal worship. And therefore the families and nations there relate to the customs, and the tongues and lands to the opinions of a corrupt internal church, while here the families and nations relate to the charity, and the tongues and lands to the faith of a true internal church. Concerning the signification of nations and families, see what follows in this chapter. 1253, verse 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah, according to their nativities, in their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, signifies the kinds of worship of the ancient church in particular. According to their nativities, signifies in proportion as they could be reformed. In their nations, signifies the kinds of worship of that church in general. 1254. These are the families of the sons of Noah. That this signifies the kinds of worship of the ancient church in particular is evident from the signification of a family and of the families of the sons as being kinds of worship, and in fact the particular kinds of worship. The nations named in the preceding verses of this chapter signify nothing else than various kinds of worship of the ancient church, and therefore the families of which the nations consisted must signify the same. In the internal sense, no other families can be meant than those of things spiritual and celestial. 1255. According to their nativities. That this signifies in proportion as they could be reformed is evident from the signification of a nativity as being reformation. While a man is being born again or regenerated by the Lord, each and all things that he receives anew are nativities. So here, as the subject is the ancient church, the nativities signify in proportion as they could be reformed. As regards the reformations of the nations, they were not all in the same worship, nor in the same doctrine, for the reason that they were not all of the same genius, and were not all similarly educated and instructed from infancy. The principles which a man imbibes from infancy the Lord never breaks but bends. If they are things that man esteems holy, and are such as are not contrary to divine and natural order, but are in themselves matters of indifference, the Lord lets them alone, and suffers the man to remain in them. So it was with many things in the second ancient church, which of the Lord's divine mercy will be treated of hereafter. 1256. In their nations. That these nations signify the various kinds of worship of that church in general is evident from what has been said before about nations and from what follows. 1257. And from these were spread abroad the nations in the earth after the flood. From these were spread abroad the nations in the earth. Signifies that from them came all the kinds of worship of the church in respect to goods and evils, which are signified by the nations. The earth is the church. After the flood signifies from the beginning of the ancient church. 1258. And from these were spread abroad the nations in the earth. That this signifies that from them came all the kinds of worship of the church in respect to goods and evils, and that these are meant by the nations, is evident from the signification of nations. By a nation, as has been explained before, are meant many families together. In the most ancient and in the ancient church, the many families which acknowledged one father constituted one nation. But as to nations signifying in the internal sense the kinds of worship of the church, and this in respect to the goods or evils in the worship, the case is this. When families and nations are viewed by the angels, they have no idea of a nation, but only of the worship in it, for they regard all from the quality itself, that is, from what they are. The quality or character of a man, from which he is regarded in heaven, is his charity and faith. This any one may clearly apprehend if he considers that when he looks at any man or any family or nation, he thinks for the most part of what quality they are, every one from that which is dominant in it at the time. The idea of their quality comes instantly to mind, and in himself he estimates them from that. Still more is this the case with the Lord, and from him with the angels, who cannot but regard a man, a family, and a nation from their quality in respect to charity and faith. And hence it is that in the internal sense by nations, nothing else is signified than the worship of the church, and this in respect to its quality, which is the good of charity and the derivative truth of faith. When the term nations occurs in the word, the angels never dwell on the idea of a nation, in accordance with the historical sense of the letter, but on the idea of the good and truth in the nation that is named. 1259. Further, as regards nations signifying the goods and evils in worship, the case is this. In the most ancient times, as has been stated before, men lived distinguished into nations, families, and households, in order that the church on earth might represent the Lord's kingdom, wherein all are distinguished into societies, and these societies into greater ones, and these again into still greater societies, and this according to the differences of love and of faith, in general and in particular. Concerning which, see number 684, 685. Thus these in like manner are distinguished, as it were, into households, families, and nations. And hence it is that in the word, houses, families, and nations signify the goods of love and of the derivative faith. And an accurate distinction is there made between nations and people. A nation signifies good or evil, and a people truth or falsity, and this so constantly as never to vary, as may be seen from the following passages. In Isaiah, "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which standeth for an ensign of the peoples. Unto it shall the nations seek, and his rest shall be a glory. In that day the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to acquire the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah." 11 verses 10 to 12. Here peoples denote the truths, and nations the goods of the church. And there is a manifest distinction made between them. The subject treated of is the Lord's kingdom and the church, and in a universal sense every regenerate man. The signification of the names is as stated above, and by Israel is signified the spiritual things of the church, and by Judah its celestial things. Again, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Thou hast multiplied the nation, thou hast magnified gladness for it. Isaiah 9, verses 2 and 3. The people here denote truths, and therefore are said to walk in darkness and to see light. The nation denotes goods. And again, what answer shall be made to the messengers of the nation, that Yehovah hath founded Zion, and in her shall the wretched ones of his people confide? Isaiah 14, verse 32. Here likewise the nation denotes good, and people truth. And again, Yehovah Zebaoth will swallow up in this mountain the faces of the covering over all peoples, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Isaiah 25, verse 7. Here a new church is spoken of, or the church of the nations. Peoples denote its truths, and nations its goods. Again, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation that keepeth faithfulnesses may enter in. Isaiah 26, verse 2. Here nation manifestly denotes goods. Again, all the nations shall be gathered together, and the peoples shall be assembled. Isaiah 43, verse 9. This also is said of the church of the nations, nations denoting its goods, and peoples its truths. And because they are distinct from each other, both are treated of. Otherwise, there would be a vain repetition. Again, thus saith the Lord Yehovah, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the nations, and will exalt my ensign to the peoples. And they shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and shall carry thy daughters upon their shoulder. Isaiah 49, verse 22. This is said of the Lord's kingdom. And the nations in like manner denote goods, and the peoples truths. Again, thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the nations, and they shall inhabit the desolate cities. Isaiah 54, verse 3. This treats of the Lord's kingdom, and of the church which is called the church of the nations. That the nations denote the goods of charity, or what is the same, those in whom there are goods of charity, is evident from its being said that the seed, or faith, shall inherit them. Cities denote truths. Again, behold, I have given him for a witness to the peoples, a prince and lawgiver to the peoples. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knewest not, and a nation that knew not thee shall run unto thee. Isaiah 55, verses 4 and 5. This is said of the Lord's kingdom. Peoples denote truths, nations goods. Those in the church who are endowed with the good of charity are nations, and those who are endowed with the truths of faith are peoples, for goods and truths are predicated according to the subjects in whom they are. Again, nations shall walk to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall stand in awe and be enlarged, because the multitude of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the army of the nations shall come unto thee. Isaiah 60, verses 3 and 5. This treats of the Lord's kingdom and of the church of the nations. Nations here denote goods, kings who belong to peoples, truths. In Zephaniah, the remains of my people shall spoil them, and the residue of my nation shall inherit them. 2, verse 9. In Zechariah, Many peoples and numerous nations shall come to seek Yahuwah of hosts in Jerusalem. 8, verse 22. Jerusalem denotes the Lord's kingdom and the church. Peoples, those who are in the truths of faith. Nations, those who are in the good of charity. And therefore they are mentioned separately. In David. Thou wilt deliver me from the contentions of the people. Thou wilt set me for the head of the nations. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Psalm 18, verse 43. Here likewise the people denote those who are in truths, and the nations those who are in good. And they are both mentioned because they constitute the man of the church. Again, the peoples shall confess thee, O God, all the peoples shall confess thee. The nations shall be glad and shall exult, because thou shalt judge the peoples in uprightness, and shalt lead the nations into the land. Psalm 67, verses 4 and 5. Here peoples manifestly denote those who are in the truths of faith, and nations those who are in the good of charity. In Moses, remember the days of eternity, understand the years of generation and generation. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thine elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, and separated the sons of man, he set the bounds of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. Deuteronomy 32, verses 7 and 8. This is said of the most ancient church and of the ancient churches, which are the days of eternity and the years of generation and generation, and in which those who were in the good of charity were called nations, to whom an inheritance was given, and those who were in the derivative truths of faith were called sons of man, and afterwards peoples. It was because the goods of the church are signified by nations, and its truths by peoples, that it was said concerning Esau and Jacob, while they were yet in the womb, two nations are in thy womb, and two peoples shall be separated from thy bowels. Genesis 25, verse 23. From these passages it may now be seen what the Church of the Nations is in its genuine sense. The most ancient church was a true church of the nations, and so afterwards was the ancient church. Those who are in charity are called nations, and those who are in faith, peoples. Therefore the priesthood of the Lord is predicated of nations because of things celestial which are goods, and his royalty of peoples because of spiritual things which are truths. This was also represented in the Jewish church, where before they had kings they were a nation, but after they received kings they became a people. 1260. Since in the most ancient and in the ancient church nations signified goods or good men, therefore also in the opposite sense they signify evils or evil men. Similarly, peoples, because they signify truths, in the opposite sense signify falsities. For in a depraved church, good is turned into evil and truth into falsity. Hence comes the signification of nations and of peoples in this sense in many places in the word, as in Isaiah 13, verse 4, 14, verse 6, 18, verses 2 and 7, 30, verse 28, 34, verses 1 and 2, Ezekiel 20, verse 32, and in many other places. 1261. As nations signified goods, So also did families, for each nation consisted of families. And so in like manner did households, for each family consisted of a number of households. Concerning a household, see above number 710. Families, however, signify goods when predicated of nations, and truths when predicated of peoples, as in David. All the families of the nations shall bow themselves before thee, for the kingdom is Yahuwah's, and he is the ruler over the nations. Psalm 22, verses 27 and 28. Again, give unto Yahuwah, ye families of the peoples, give unto Yahuwah glory and strength. Psalm 96, verse 7. In this verse, and also in the preceding verse of this chapter, families are predicated of goods, because they were families of the nations. 1262. From what has been said, it may now be seen that by the earth is here signified the church. For when earth is mentioned, there cannot but be a perception of the nation or people there. And when a nation or people is perceived, there must be a perception of their quality. Hence, by the earth, nothing else is signified than the church, as has been shown before. Number 662, 1066. 1263. That after the flood signifies from the beginning of the ancient church is evident from the fact that the flood was the end of the most ancient church and the beginning of the ancient church, as was shown before. Numbers 705, 739, 790. 1264. From all this it may now be seen that although mere names of nations and families occur in this chapter, yet it contains in general not only all the differences of worship as regards the goods of charity and truths of faith that were in the ancient church, but also all that are in any church. In fact, it contains more than any man could ever believe. Such is the word of the Lord. Concerning the Antediluvians Who Perished. 1265. At some height above the head, there were many spirits who inflowed into my thoughts and kept them as it were bound, so that I was in very much obscurity. They pressed heavily upon me. The spirits about me were also held as it were bound by them, so that they could scarcely think, except that which inflowed from those spirits, and this to such a degree as to excite their indignation. It was said that the spirits in question were of those who had lived before the flood, but not of those called Nephilim and who perished, for they were not so strongly persuasive. 1266. The Antediluvians who perished are in a certain hell beneath the heel of the left foot. There is a kind of misty rock with which they are covered, projected from their direful fantasies and persuasions, by which they are separated from the other hells and are kept away from the world of spirits. They are in the continual effort to rise out of it, but cannot get beyond the effort. For they are of such a nature that if they should come into the world of spirits, they, by their direful fantasies and the exhalations and venom of their persuasions, would take away the faculty of thinking from all the spirits they met, except the good. And unless the Lord, by his coming into the flesh, had liberated the world of spirits from that wicked crew, the human race would have perished. For no spirit could have been with man, and yet if spirits and angels are not with man, he cannot live a moment of time. 1267. Those of them who obstinately try to emerge from that hell are cruelly treated by their companions, for they are possessed with deadly hatred against all, even against their companions. Their greatest delight consists in holding each other in subjection, and as it were, in butchering one another. Those who more resolutely persist in the endeavor to force their way out are sent down still deeper under the misty rock. For it is in their innate crazy ardor to destroy everyone that leads them on, hence their efforts to get out. They wrap all they meet in a cloth in order to take them captive, and cast them into a certain sea, as it appears to them, or otherwise treat them savagely. 1268. I was led guarded towards that misty rock. To be led to such spirits is not to be led from place to place, but it is effected by means of intermediate societies of spirits and angels, the man remaining in the same place, and yet it appears to him as a letting down. As I came near the rock, I was met with a coldness which gripped the lower region of my back. From there I spoke with them about their persuasions, and about what they had believed in the life of the body as regards the Lord. They answered that they had thought much about God, but had persuaded themselves that there is no God, but that men are gods, and thus they themselves were gods, and that they had confirmed themselves in these persuasions by their dreams. Their fantasies against the Lord will be spoken of below. 1269. That I might know still better what kind of men they were, it was permitted by the Lord that some of them should come up into the world of spirits. Before this took place, a beautiful boy appeared, clothed in shining white raiment. Afterwards, in an open doorway, there appeared another child in a green garment, and then two maidservants with white headdresses. But what these things signified was not disclosed to me.